Here at the intersection of religion, government, and politics, we've spent a good bit of time pondering the unlikely alliance of Donald Trump and conservative Christians. More than one knowledgeable guest has posited that evangelicals had reached a craving for political power that overcame any religious convictions. While that may be true for many, it still felt like a partial explanation for us. An additional piece of the puzzle fell into place, however, with a recent Huffington Post article headlined, "How Apocalypticism Strengthens the Evangelical Affinity for Trumpism." No, that word's not easy to say, but it offers a theological underpinning for what we've seen taking place. Dr. Greg Carey is professor of New Testament at Lancaster Seminary in Pennsylvania, the author of several books on apocalyptic Christianity. He recently wrote a Huffington Post article headlined, "How Apocalypticism Strengthens the Evangelical Affinity for Trumpism." It offers a partial answer to some of the nagging questions we've been asking on this show, and so I am really happy to welcome Dr. Carey to State of Belief Radio. Greg, thanks for being with us.
Hello, Welton. It's an honor to be on your show.
So, what is apocalypticism other than a word that's hard to say?
Right. Well, I think a lot of people in our culture use the word apocalyptic to mean anything dramatic that happens to do with the end of the world. Mm-hmm. But what I mean specifically in my piece is that group of Christians who believe the Bible is presenting a map of the end times, mm-hmm. and who see current events as signs of the fulfillment of biblical prophecies.
So, how do you see that fitting in with evangelical support for Donald Trump?
There were a couple of things that struck me. I was driving home from a vacation, and I heard Donald Trump's announcement that the United States was withdrawing from the climate accords. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was a fairly long speech, but at a certain point toward the end of the speech, he began talking about American sovereignty. Mm-hmm. And it struck me that in a lot of the end-time Bible teaching that you hear in some churches, there's an emphasis on, in the last days, there will be this satanic alliance that will try to establish either a one-world government or a one-world religion, and that the argument of American sovereignty or America first, pulling out from trade agreements, pulling out from the climate accord, criticizing NATO, it struck me that there's a certain group of Christians, maybe millions of people, for whom that would resonate very positively because they're inherently suspicious of any kind of international or interreligious cooperation. If you're inclined to think of the world as a place that's largely hostile, which mm-hmm. goes with being apocalyptically minded, and in my piece I mentioned, if you think of the world in dualistic terms, that there are the forces of good over against the forces of evil, which is language that the Trump campaign has used and his presidency has used to this day, then you realize that some of his rhetoric will hit friendly parts of the ear mm-hmm. for lots of Christian voters.
That's very interesting. Greg, do you think he deliberately speaks in apocalyptic terminology that connects him with this community, or is it just a matter of coincidence?
That's a really tough question. What I can say is that as I looked into this, I realized that Steve Bannon, who clearly is one of his intellectual influences and is a key advisor in the administration, mm-hmm. Steve Bannon has talked in a very intentionally apocalyptic terms mm-hmm. for years. And, you know, describes the world as being in an ongoing global war, and a war in which Western nations need to protect what he calls their Judeo-Christian heritage. Mm-hmm. That kind of language would be very familiar mm-hmm. to Christian millenarians or Bible prophecy believers. And Bannon, I think, influences the speeches that Trump makes. When he makes, you know, carefully scripted speeches, that influence is there. But whether there's, you know, an intentional design to hit those notes, I think that's more than I would know how to evaluate.
I understand. Well, I mentioned Pat Robertson because you and I both know that there have been a whole lot of religious leaders who have talked in apocalyptic terms, sometimes in relation to belief and then sometimes in relation to loyalties in government. So we know that's been done in the religious community. Are there other political leaders that you've seen successfully tap into this language as a way of thinking?
Well, using apocalyptic language is something that we all do, or many of us are inclined to do, when we want to say something is really important.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I'm very concerned about climate change, mm-hmm. and I'm concerned with the potential that climate change could create, down the road, in several decades, enormous chaos, the kind that you would think about when you'd think about a Mad Max movie. Mm-hmm. When I use that language, I'm using apocalyptic language, right? And so when we all talk about some great threat, that's language that we can go to. I think that what's really unique is if you looked at the Republican primaries, early on, the three candidates who separated themselves from the rest were Trump, Ted Cruz, and Carson.
Mm-hmm.
And they all used that kind of language. The other candidates weren't as likely to do it.
I think in that situation, the apocalyptic language is embraced as a technique, as one of the ways to get people's attention in a campaign. Do you agree with that, and are they doing good with the apocalyptic language?
Well, what I can say is apocalyptic language is extremely flexible, and it tends to be used when people want to say there's something fundamentally wrong with the world.
Mm-hmm.
That goes all the way back to the book of Daniel and in the New Testament, the book of Revelation. You use that language when you're saying this is a crisis, it's a huge crisis, it might be the defining crisis of history.
Yeah.
I think that apocalyptic language can work in different groups and in different ways, but also, you know, we have to be aware that religious leaders and political leaders who pay attention to them are very wise in when and how they use that language.
Right.
And so I've seen it in religious circles all the time, where apocalyptic language, you know, the language of either the end time or a final judgment or heaven and hell, all of that's apocalyptic language, is used to either incite enthusiasm or fear, right, and motivate people.
Am I right that apocalyptic language is predominantly the product of a crisis time, a time when people are worried about the future?
That's a question that scholars still actively debate, because if you think about it, apocalyptic language, once it's out there, you can pick it up and use it.
Mm-hmm.
You can pick it up and use it to create your own crisis. So, you know, Martin Luther used apocalyptic language in his fights against Rome,
mm-hmm.
and then when German peasants were using apocalyptic language in their own fight against the aristocracy, he denounced using apocalyptic language. so it might matter what.
He's a good theologian. How worried should we be that this is the kind of thinking that's influencing major government decisions?
I think we should be extremely worried at several levels. It's not so much a worry about Trump specifically, as it is that there are tens of millions of Christians who participate either more or less intensely in this worldview. So just very quickly, some of the things that I'd be worried about. From that apocalyptic Bible prophecy point of view, they think the world is going to end in a great world war. And so they are not motivated by efforts to pursue peace.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing to worry about. Their view of history tends to revolve around the nation of Israel. They'll tend to defend Israel no matter what Israel does.
Mm-hmm.
And they're extremely negative toward Muslims, which has been the case with the Trump administration. And so we need to be concerned about their influence on policy in the Middle East. they don't care about resolving issues like climate change either. So war and climate change are two issues where their outlook will lead them to inaction. And then the one other thing I would say is, from that point of view, anyone who disagrees with them can easily be identified as the enemy or as demonic.
Right.
So, for example, recently when the new congressional representative from Montana punched the reporter at his election celebration speech, he mentioned that story, and I heard a woman in the crowd cry out, "You're forgiven." But when somebody on the other side commits an offense, right, that forgiveness isn't as forthcoming.
Yeah.
So I think war, climate change, and that tendency to divide people into good and evil and demonize those you disagree with are things we should all be concerned about.
It's inspirational and energy-giving if you think you're combating the Antichrist. And so if you name that evil, you have almost an end justifies the means to responding to that.
That's right. You have no reason to compromise.
Yeah.
Right. No reason to trust that the other person is representing their good faith point of view.
Is there a way for well-meaning Americans to challenge this vision of the future?
You know, lots of biblical scholars have been working on this, not just in scholarship, but also trying to write in public venues and teach in churches. Mm-hmm. And I would still say that our effect has been fairly small. Mm-hmm. You know, this movement of Bible prophecy, end time speculation, it's not widely shared, it's not the majority of the population, but again, we are talking tens of millions of people.
Yeah.
And I don't think we found a strategy to help people within that own circle take another look. You know, that sort of change happens, I think, when you have relationships with people in diverse communities who see things in different ways. Mm-hmm. But anything you or I would try to say to them as outsiders, I don't have much optimism about the effect we'd be able to have.
Yeah. You wrote a really wonderful article that is insightful, and if people ponder what you say in that, they are going to have a whole new vision of what's happening. What worries you the most about the direction things are headed for in our nation?
I'm afraid of authoritarianism. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid of the erosion of democracy. When I hear Donald Trump attacking the press as enemies of the state, alienating our allies and demonizing his political opponents. And that sort of behavior seems to be tolerated by lots and lots of people. Mm-hmm. I worry that we'll slide into a society where truth and democracy aren't really valued, and what's valued is just loyalty. That's what scares me more than anything else right now.
Dr. Greg Carey is professor of New Testament at Lancaster Seminary. He's the author of 6 books, including the most recent, Apocalyptic Literature in the New Testament. We'll link to his insightful Huffington Post article, How Apocalypticism Strengthens the Evangelical Affinity for Trumpism, from stateofbelief.com. Greg, thanks for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you. It's been a genuine pleasure.